News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
We're joined now by Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Leo Varadkar. I know you're here to talk about working from home and the future of work, and we want to talk about that, Taoiseach, and reimagining Ireland and all of it. But on that topic we've just been discussing, the AstraZeneca vaccine, it has now been limited to people between the ages of 60 to 69. Have NIAC made the right call?
I think they have. It's a difficult decision to make, and they did have, I think they had about 3-5 hour meetings in the last couple of days and weighed up all the pros and cons and came to this decision. It's easy to second guess them, but if they got it wrong, they'd have few friends and few supporters if they did. So, you know, I know some people say that they're acting out of an excess of caution, but what they would say is that they're acting out of an abundance of caution. And I think on balance, they've got it right. I think it's important to say that there are 4 vaccines now licensed for use in Ireland. AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna and Janssen, which is arriving this week. They're all highly effective, close to 100% effective against severe illness and death, including the variants, and they are all safe. But medicines, all vaccines are medicines and all medicines have side effects. Some are common and mild, some are rare and serious. And this side effect does appear to be rare, maybe as few as four cases in a million. 1 in a million causing death, and it does appear that's actually treatable. So, you know, maybe the case that down the line they're able to widen the groups that can have this vaccine again. I should say it is over 60, so it does include over 70s. I've heard some suggestion that's only 60 to 69. That's not the case. It's anyone over 60 can still have this vaccine. And there are well over 500,000 people over 60 who have yet to be vaccinated. So we will make good use of the stock that's coming in. I know one group that's going to be a little bit annoyed at the moment, and I really feel for them, are some of the healthcare workers and frontline workers who've had their first dose of AstraZeneca and now being told they won't get their second one for 16 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's a long time, you know, especially if you're looking forward to being fully vaccinated so that you can meet up indoors with friends and so on. But that is a precautionary issue. And you know, NIAC will look at that again over the course of the next few weeks. And it's possible that can be brought forward because 56 days between doses is the manufacturer's advice.
And obviously there are guidelines now depending on your age and whether you have underlying factors and whether or not you, as you say, have been pushed back to 12 weeks or 16 weeks. But why 60? It seems quite arbitrary. We've got 55 in other countries. We've got 60 here. We've got, you know, younger than that in the UK. It gives the impression that these sort of ages and these figures are being slightly plucked from the air.
It's 55 in France, 30 in the UK. We're going for 60. You know, to be honest, it's lack of data. You know, this is a very rare side effect. It's only been reported in a very small number of cases. There are other vaccines available, and NIAC has to weigh up all the different pros and cons and come up with the best advice. And this is the advice that they've come up with. You know, the reason why it is older people, of course, is that, you know, the balance of risk when it comes to COVID is much higher with older people, and the reverse is the case when it comes, of course, to this potential side effect, which is much more common with younger people.
We're not going to hit the 180 doses of vaccines this week now as a consequence of this. Are we going to hit the 80% of adults being vaccinated by June?
We'll know in the next couple of days. I was trying to get Paul Reid on the phone before I came here. And in fairness to Paul Reid, the HSE and their team and Breon McCrath, they've done a great job of pivoting now a few times on foot of changes to advice from NIAC. And like I say, you know, there's still over 500,000 people over 60 that haven't been vaccinated. There's the second doses. So we will make good use of the 800,000 or so AstraZeneca vaccines that are arriving.
And there's about 400,000 people in the cohort of 60 to
69. That's right,
But are you
so you know, we will need to do some rescheduling and reprofiling, and you know, we won't hit 180,000 this week, but we might be able to catch up in the next couple of weeks.
But are you concerned, Leo, that we're going to see a situation where those people who are now offered AstraZeneca, that their confidence in the vaccine has been undermined?
Well, that's a worry, of course. And you know, one thing that we have to bear in mind as a government, and one thing NIAC has to bear in mind as well, is that any time you change advice, that in itself can cause people to lose confidence. And you touched on that earlier. So that always has to be borne in mind. But, you know, I think what's going to happen is people will be offered their vaccine. They'll be able to talk to their doctor or nurse, a healthcare professional about it. And certainly, you know, me speaking as a healthcare professional as well as a politician, you know, I'd have no hesitation recommending the AstraZeneca vaccine to people over 60 because the risk of getting this very rare blood clotting disorder, which is probably treatable, is minuscule compared to the risk of getting COVID and getting very sick or dying from that. So, you know, the balance of risk is much more in favour of accepting the vaccine than refusing it. And that's the case with almost any medicine.
Would you take it yourself?
I would, yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Look, I know you're really here to talk about, I suppose, the changing work practices that we see and that the pandemic has brought in. With regard to people drifting back to the workplace, I know you have said that you don't want to see people returning to the office as a matter of course at the moment. Are we seeing too much of that? Is that a concern with regard to the restrictions?
We're seeing some evidence of it. About 30% of people at the moment, or at least up until the last week or two, about 30% of people were going into the workplace. That's gone up to 33%. That may seem like a small increase, but it's trending in the wrong direction. So even though we haven't eased many restrictions around going into the office, more people are going into the workplace. And when we survey them, about 20% of people who are going into work say they can work from home. But of that group, you can split them into a bigger group who just want to get out of the house and get into the office, and that's understandable, and a smaller group who feel pressurised by their employer to go into the office or go into the workplace when they don't have to. And I'm putting out the message really very clearly to employers and employees alike that if you can work from home, you should continue to do so. We do have a lot of workplace outbreaks. There just aren't enough people vaccinated yet, and the case numbers aren't low enough on a daily basis for us to take any risks. We will see a phased return to offices and workplaces, but it isn't just yet. And as is the case with so many other restrictions, going back too soon might undo the progress we've made.
We've been talking here on News Talk about reimagining Ireland, about what Ireland might look like in the next year or two. Do you envisage, Taoiseach, a legal right to work from home that will make it the norm maybe in 1 to 3 years time that people will have jobs from home, you know, high power jobs that might have always previously been in the office setting, or indeed blended work environments where it is quite the norm that people going forward permanently into our future here in Ireland will maybe work 1, 2, 3 days from home?
Yeah, I do. And I think that change was always coming. But the pandemic has accelerated that change. And this pandemic, you know, there actually aren't that many life changing events or world changing events that actually happen in your life. You know, I often wonder what they were in my life. And, you know, the fall of the Berlin Wall was definitely one, you know, and the fall of communism and so on. You know, this is definitely one of those life-changing events that we will talk to people about in 30, 40, 50 years' time. And it's impossible to be certain at this stage, you know, how it's going to change the world, because it is still ongoing. It isn't over yet. We don't know what the impact will be in terms of economic scarring in the world, on mental health, on child development. But I think there are some things that we can say it definitely will change. And one of those things is the world of work. And we're going to see many more people working from home, working from remote hubs in towns and villages in rural Ireland, which I think is a huge potential plus out of this.
Is this going to reframe rural Ireland? It's going to make it a place where people can work and where employment and unemployment is not the issue that it is currently?
I think it creates a huge opportunity in that regard. And, you know, I remember the day we signed the national broadband contract, and we had few supporters that day. People thought it was a waste of money and that we shouldn't do it. And I don't think anyone doubts now the wisdom of that decision, bringing high speed broadband to every home, farm and business in the country. And there's a huge opportunity now for us to develop, and they're already happening, but to develop more working hubs and enterprise centres in towns and villages around Ireland to enable people to work locally or work from home. And I think what you will see is blended working. You know, some people working from the office all the time, some working from home all the time, a lot of people doing both. And that in itself will change the workplace, because the workplace will be less, you know, offices and desks, and more creative spaces. You'll go into the office for training, for brainstorming, for meetings, for all the creative stuff. So I think workplaces are going to start to look a little bit more like the kind of tech workplaces.
That all sounds very positive and something that we might like. But you mentioned that people should stay at home perhaps until vaccination, and there are outbreaks, etc., within workplaces. To tie the two things we've been talking about, the vaccine rollout and the changes in work practices, do you see restrictions being in place for longer now because of perhaps the slower rollout of the vaccine?
Well, we haven't yet assessed what impact this latest advice from NIAC will have on the rollout. We'll know that in the next couple of days. You know, I'm hoping that what it's going to do is slow us down for a week or two, and then we'll be able to catch up again, in which case it won't have an impact. But I just can't say that.
So the logistics have to be put in place, and but there is potential to catch up.
Right.
Can I ask you one last thing before I let you go? I know you're extremely busy. Yesterday we spoke to Green Party Minister Joe O'Brien on the programme, and I know that he is seeking a one-off solidarity tax on high earners in order, I suppose, to fund some of the bills of the pandemic, but also I think the idea is to show solidarity maybe with people who have lost a huge amount in terms of their finances. What's your view on that?
Well, I think we are showing solidarity, you know, through the pandemic unemployment payment, through the wage subsidy scheme, and that's largely funded by borrowing, which we'll all have to pay back at a point in the future. But I think the last thing we need now when it comes to an economic recovery is higher taxes on anyone. I don't think we need higher taxes on income earners. I don't think we need higher taxes on business. And the programme for government is very clear on this, that you know, we won't see increases in tax on business. We won't see increases in tax on people's savings. And far from increasing income tax, we're going to index income tax bands. So fewer people will end up in the higher income tax band as things go on. And that's in the programme for government. It's a solid commitment in the programme for government as a 51% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. So that's the answer to that.
So despite the greenery, Joe Brien's wrong.
Oh, he's entitled to his opinion, but I'm speaking for the government and all three parties in government, and the programme for government is very clear that there won't be increases in tax on people's savings, there won't be increases in tax on business. Far from it, we may do the reverse to help businesses recover and bounce back from the pandemic, and far from increasing income tax on anyone, we'll be indexing income tax bands so that we don't see more and more people ending up paying the highest rate. And that's in the programme for government. It's as solid a commitment as the decision not to increase the pension age to 67. It's as solid a commitment as the decision to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 51%. And it is part of the basis for my party's participation in government.
Minister for Enterprise, Tánaiste Leo Bradker, thank you very much for speaking to us on News Talk Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.